Good morning, everybody. I know you weren't expecting to see me up here today because it's not supposed to work this way. For those of you who don't know what I'm joking about, normally we have a different person every week. So if you don't like whoever's preaching, come back next week. It'll be different. But this is my third time in a row. And I felt like we weren't even going to get to the sermon today. I mean, it was just so rich. And I could sense, I could really sense God, just the direction. The first song, there is no other God. No other God can be called a father. No other God can be called a friend. No other God can be called redeemer. No other God is coming back again. And I feel that theme over today. So I want to start off by making a call to heaven. And let's just ask for the Father's will to be done here today. Father, we love you. Father in heaven, you are awesome. Your name is unlike any other name. Your name is above every other name. And there is no other name under heaven given to us whereby we must be saved. We come to seek and to desire and to participate in your kingdom coming and your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We look to you for our daily bread. We don't survive or live by natural things alone, whether it's food or money or anything else, but by every word that you speak to us. So forgive us of our debts as we forgive others for theirs, and lead us away from temptation. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever and ever. And we're here, Lord, for you. We want to hear what you have to say. We want our ears to be open to the fullest extent so that we can, because that's how faith comes. You speak, we hear, we receive, your word becomes flesh in us, and then we say what you say. That's what confession is to say the same thing. So God, let that be what happens here today in Jesus' name. Thank you for everything you've already done. Amen. I had a feeling, and I was hoping that some of the things that happened today would happen. And I'm so thankful for this body. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for the integrity and the structure that we have. I'm not a pastor. I'm one of the preaching team. Pastor Easy and Lena and Alan are our pastors. And Easy's at home recovering and healing. I heard a man of God say something this week that without structure, the Spirit can't come. God told the prophet to speak to the bones. Before the muscles came, the bones had to be in order. And so we can have a direction that we're going and know why we're here and what we're doing and a general idea of where we feel like God is going. But without an agreement and an understanding and discipline and integrity and training and everything that we enjoy here, you won't be able to steward the more. And so I'm blessed. God is so awesome. And, you know, the other thing that was theme that was in phrase, that was in worship was, you made a way, he made a way, and we must answer, we must respond, and then I'll go anywhere. And I just believe that's the theme for, there is no other God, he alone made a way, we must respond, we must answer, and the secret is, be willing to go anywhere. So what I want to do today is I want to describe a scenario, a story to you. And I want you to put yourself in the place of this character. I want you to imagine you're a scientist or a detective, an investigator. Let's go with the investigator. You're sitting across from a witness who's telling you the most fantastic, detailed, amazing story. And you can tell that they have a lot of knowledge. And you're sucked into the story, and you're hanging on every word, and it's captivating. And you've been searching for this villain for years, someone who's done some incredibly evil things. And this witness is convincing you that they have knowledge of all the things that you've been chasing. But the conclusion that he brings you to is that you're on the wrong trail. This guy really doesn't exist, and or he's already dead. And so you're not going to get this resolved. And he gets up and he walks out of your office. And as you start to look around your office and you're looking at all the timeline that you've put together as an investigator and all the different stories and news clippings, you start to realize he just wove a story together to throw you off of his trail. And he used all the things that were right in front of your face. And then you're struck by the last thing that he said to you. And those of you that know what movie this comes from, you'll appreciate it. But he said, the greatest trick the devil ever played was convincing the world that he didn't exist. And after the guy had walked out and he was gone, the investigator, you realize the person I've been looking for all along was sitting right in front of me. But he got me to believe and to see things in a way that were not true. And because of that, I came into agreement with a false perception, and I did not apprehend the very villain I was looking for. Now, we're not looking for villains. We're not on a witch hunt. We're not looking for devils under every rock. But that same thing happens to us on a regular basis, I believe on a daily basis, where we become convinced that things that are really of importance are just nothing. They're just everyday whatever. And we become blind to the things that are really important. So we're going to do a little time travel here. I've been using a timeline. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk backwards and we're going to look at some clues. See, one thing that we all have in common here, except for one person, everybody in this room has got fingerprints, except for one person, because hers got burned off. But even though we've all got fingerprints, we all have that in common. We all have different fingerprints. None of us have the exact same fingerprints. And as you look at the stories and the things, the treasures of God's word, you start to see God's fingerprints are everywhere. If you could look at your body at a cellular level, you would see this. Is it a protein? What is laminin? Is it a protein and a molecule? Laminin? Yeah, it's a protein. There's a protein that holds your body together. It's called laminin. And it's in every single part of your body. And guess what is imprinted in the middle? What shape does it make? It's a cross. So God's fingerprints are everywhere, even the ones you can't see. But right now, we are in the year 2025. So we're going to start with, you are here. This is 2025, okay? Figured I'd shake it up a little bit and do it a little bit different. That's where we are, and that's when we are. And 2,000 years ago, well, let me back up. I just stepped on it a little bit. Why do we call it 2025? Anybody know? Has humanity only been on the earth for a couple thousand years? Anybody want to guess? Just kidding. I'm not going to put you on the spot. 2,025 years ago was the approximate time that our Lord and Savior, Jesus, was born. So we're going to put him right here in the middle of the timeline because it's about 2,025 years ago. Now, what's interesting, I'm going to use these two books to signify the Bible. So we've got the gray is going to be the Old Testament and the brown is going to be the New Testament. The New Testament was written in about the 100 years after Jesus was crucified. Now, we go 1,500 years before Jesus, and we come to Moses. And then we go back another 500 years, and we've got Abraham. And 2,000 years before that, we have Adam. And most of the Old Testament was written around this time. So you are here. It helps to have perspective. It's very easy to look at all these things and to write them off as, oh, insignificant, oh, coincidental, oh, that doesn't have any meaning. But just like that character in that story that I talked about in the beginning, you can miss a ton of what's been given to you and what's available to you if you don't pay attention to the clues, if you accept the wrong narrative about who you are and why you're here. I'm so thankful to have a heritage of faith. I'm so thankful for what I've learned in this house. I'm so thankful. To my knowledge, that's only the second time that I've ever had an interpretation. The first time was about 27 years ago in a club called Glory to Glory, which is a Christian club, not a bad club. But if we are not willing as a house to be vulnerable and to take childlike steps of faith, how is anybody going to learn what it's like to give an interpretation if somebody else isn't willing to give a message in tongues that they don't know what it means. So I'm thankful for this house. That's what I mean. I'm thankful for what we have here. I'm thankful for the freedom. I'm thankful that we have people who are willing to worship on their knees and to express with their full being their love to the Lord. I'm thankful that we have the freedom to sit, kneel, or stand. There's no rules or rituals. And that's a secret of following him anywhere, is being willing to go anywhere he leads and be like a child. Now, I grew up in a household of faith. My mom is the children's director. She's got some of your kids down the hall. And one of the things that stood out to me as I was preparing for this message, and I'm already not going to get to give it all today, but I'll save it for the next time. I won't go next week. But the Lord was showing me how understanding all the stories that I know. I don't know all the stories in the Bible, by the way. I don't know everything. But I do know a lot that's been planted into me. And having that foundation from children's ministry has made a massive impact on my journey in my life. And one of the things I felt in my heart to say that God said to me today is children's ministry is not child's play. And we should not look down on our children at any age. Even a one-year-old, you should be speak every day that they're alive. Be speaking the word of God over them. Be speaking the word of God into them. Be speaking about their destiny. Be calling them up higher and higher. The Bible says out of the mouth of babes will come forth his praise. And some of the greatest things that I've experienced have been through my children and being a parent. But what I want to talk to you today is about something that only God can do. So it was interesting that there's no other God and he made a way. And I want to share with you the gateway parable that unlocks all the other parables. Now, we were at a networking lunch about 5 or 6 weeks ago. It's called the Katy Christian Chamber of Commerce. And Erica, the lady that runs it, we have a friend here who was at the meeting with us. But the lady who runs it, she called this a gateway parable. And I love this parable already, but I'd never heard it phrased that. And so I want you to think about that. What is a gateway? It's something that opens up to something else. And Jesus said a really strange, interesting thing about the parable in Mark 4, which is, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? So there's a secret to be uncovered. And then he also said something to the disciples. They said, why do you always speak in parables? And he said, to you it's been given to understand, but to them who are outside, it has not been given. What made these people different than those people? Does God partial? Is he playing games? Does he like some people other than others? No. It's very simple. The difference is these people asked and these people listened and then left. This was after a ministry event one day. And so the secret, and Jesus said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. There are things that are not obvious. They're not in plain sight, and you will not understand them or grasp them unless you ask. So that's secret number one. Have childlike faith. Secret number two, step in and ask. When you see things that you don't understand, I said last week, I want more of what Sabata carries. He carries the presence of the Lord and ministers in a way that blesses me every time. And I feel like just this week, just getting to participate in a gifting is somewhat of is a small answer to that prayer, if you will. But the stories that we see from the Bible are from Jesus' birth, who was let me back up. And again, I'm a little bit thrown from just the weight of everything this morning. Do you know how many, there's five books in the Bible that you can read that are only one chapter. So if you go home and find those five books, you can read 10% of the Bible, counting books, in about 15 minutes. It's a pretty cool trick. So, I read five books of the Bible today, yeah. Did you know that there are, how many impossible pregnancies are there in the Bible? Last week I made a joke about ladies and older age having babies, but how many impossible pregnancies are there in the Bible? Do you know? A lot? Hannah, Elizabeth. So Hannah's was miraculous, but she wasn't advanced in age. Sarah was advanced in age. Elizabeth was advanced in age. And then Mary was young, but not married. She had not been with a husband. But it's interesting, there's a One of the things that God does is he presents patterns, pictures that reveal patterns that are based on principles that contain power. And so the story of Sarah and Abraham happened back here. The story of Elizabeth and John the Baptist, who Jesus said was the greatest prophet, happened right here. And then the story of Jesus, and another impossible. So there's proximity between the pictures. And if you don't pay attention to the detail, you'll miss the pattern and the underlying message. You can look at it like it's a book of historical facts. Some people look at it as a book of made-up facts. They don't look at it as even factual. But my point in sharing that is all these stories that we get taught, that we teach our children, hopefully, are actually suitcases that are carrying a tremendous amount of meaning and message. So when you get older in the Lord, not in age, the Lord can begin to speak to you, and he can just tell you the name of a person in a story, and all of a sudden you understand all the weight that goes along with that. And that is something that only God can do. So that's how it is with this gateway parable. Jesus said something, he tells the disciples, he's preaching, and he says that the kingdom of God is like a sower who went out and sowed seed. And some fell on the hard ground, and the birds came and they ate it before, right away. And then some fell on the shallow ground, and it sprung up really quickly, but its roots were shallow, and there was no depth. And then some fell on the rocky soil, and it grew quickly, but it was choked out by the things that were in the soil. And then some fell on the good ground and produced fruit. Now, if you don't know what kingdom of God means, you can read that so many different directions. God showed me this out of the Lord's Prayer this morning, a simple way to explain to people how the kingdom of God is different from heaven. Listen to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say heaven come. He said your kingdom come. Your kingdom comes from heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not heaven. It's the influence of heaven. I was like, oh my gosh, understanding these stories and these parables with a childlike faith helps you begin to see the deeper things that God has hidden for us in each of these stories. Now, the book of Job has been one of my least favorite books, and probably still is, for a lot of different reasons. But what's interesting about it is it was the first book written, even though it's not about the first events in the Bible. So Genesis through Deuteronomy are right here. And then Job appears down here. But Job actually occurred in the story, in the narrative, sometime during the first 12 chapters of Genesis, which is where Adam appears. Okay, if all of these things begin to form that story and get put together as you proceed and as you learn to look at, Jesus told the disciples when they asked him, what do you mean by this? He said, to you it's been given to know, to them it hasn't. And he said, the seed is the word of God. And there are some who, when they hear the word, it is instantly gone. Circumstances, distractions, those are the people that hear and they walk away and they go, oh, that was good, that was entertaining, but there's no lasting effect. Then there are some who hear God's word and immediately they respond, but they have shallow soil and they're not able to withstand the opposition that comes against them, and they're gone shortly thereafter. And then there's some who hear the word of God and they put down roots and they begin to grow, but the worries of life begin to choke out that life and they don't survive. And then there's some who have good soil and the roots go down deep. So what I want to put on display for you today is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke from heaven and he created the earth. So I use that round part of the stage to illustrate the earth. And he said, let man have dominion. That's the first instance of kingdom. And he gave us dominion over everything that he had created, except for one thing. The one thing he did not give you dominion over is each other. We were created to serve one another. And if you don't understand that principle, when you understand that principle, it helps you understand the concept of kingdom. So a quick little tutorial on kingdom. Kingdom is a form of government. It's not a religious thing. Kingdoms expand through colonization. They want their influence to spread like yeast through dough. Remember one of the parables, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like yeast. Kingdoms colonize. They don't try to bring people back to live with them, they try to make people live like them. I say it, the way I say it is that kings don't get glory when you live with them, they get glory when you live like them. And so, think about what Jesus said in the parable of the sower together with that concept right there. The kingdom of God is like a king who sowed, he spoke, and that seed was planted and it was received and it bore fruit in some and it did not in others. And in order for a seed to bear fruit and become mature, what does it have to do? The seed has to go down, it has to put up roots, it has to shoot up a stalk. But just because you see a plant doesn't mean it's mature, doesn't mean it can reproduce. A plant is mature when it can reproduce. When the seed and the fruit looks exactly like the seed that was spoken, that's when it's time to harvest. Faith is a journey. Faith is a process. Faith is different from the gift of faith. Pastor Easy moves in the gift of faith. But having faith, developing our faith, is a daily process. That's why it's daily bread. And the way that our journey is about intimacy with him, hearing his words, letting them take root in us, moving past the storms, the opposition that we face, and letting it go down so that when we get tested, when we face storms, when we face mountains, the word that comes out of our mouth, there's not even any thought to it. It looks and sounds exactly like the word that was spoken here. That's why what's so cool when we practice hearing and responding as a church service, we're actually getting discipled. We're actually getting training. We're actually getting to practice what the kingdom of God looks like. And kingdom, Jesus healed a lady one time in the synagogue. She was hunched over for 18 years. Her back was bowed over. And Jesus healed her on a day that he wasn't supposed to do it because they were not supposed to do anything. And the religious people got angry with him. And Jesus said something that was really interesting. He said, "The kingdom of heaven has come upon you." Now, if the kingdom was a piece of real estate and somewhere we were trying to get to, then everybody would have seen heaven fall on this lady. But what was it? It wasn't the real estate that fell on her. It was the influence that fell on her. That is what God wants. He wants his influence to infiltrate every single area of the world. But here's the secret, and this is what I think is so profound. The way that he does it is through invitation and not through invasion. Think about it. What glory would God get if he showed up in all of his glory? By the way, it would destroy us. And he just forced himself on us. I'm God. I'm the one who you have to worship. There would be no glory in that for him as a king. But when he speaks and he invites people to say yes or no to him, to believe him even when they can't see him, and to receive his words into their heart, and then they allow that word to begin to take expression, he's not having to lift a finger. Now, he's in us and he's working in us through his Holy Spirit, but it's not the same thing as him coming and forcing himself on us. He is there by invitation. And that is something that kings understand. Kings operate through invitation and relationship, not through invasion. This is how the kingdom of God works. And this is the point that I wanted to illustrate today. Some people have a really hard time with who Jesus is. Some people, there are cults. There are religions that believe that Jesus was just a prophet. No divinity at all. Not God at all. And I'm not going to call out those names. There are some religious groups that claim to be Christian that believe that Jesus was a man who became God. We believe that Jesus is the Word, and he was always with God, and he was God, and he did something that only God could do, which is become man. I want you to think about it like a little child. Is it more possible for a human who is limited to become unlimited, or is it more possible for a God who loves limited beings to limit himself and to come and live like a limited being? That is the beauty of that is the way that he made that nobody else could make. And reason why that's important, because in the book of Job, one of the things that is fascinating, that is revealed in that book that I don't like very much, is that there's a court system in heaven. And if you've ever been to court, it's not fun. I was deposed 3 weeks ago in a court case, And it's fascinating to me. I will not throw everybody under the bus or the legal profession, but many times in the legal court system in our world, people are not trying to get to truth. They are trying to get to an angle that they can use against you. And they will ask you the same question over and over and over again, slightly different, trying to trip you up, because all you have to do is answer wrong one time and then they can use that against you. It doesn't matter that you got it right 22 times. If they have it on record that you said something that agrees with their side and not yours, it will be used against you in the court of law. This is one of the things that the Lord put on my heart. We are being deposed every day by the enemy. And it starts to feel fruitless. It starts to feel futile. It starts to feel redundant and repetitive to sit there and know, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Every time a symptom flares up and says, you're sick, you're dying, you're hurt, by his stripes, I'm healed. 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 By his stripes, I was healed. Therefore, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. That's what being deposed looks like in a spiritual sense. So the two things that I wanted to point out is, one day you and I are going to leave this earth. And we will stand before him. And we will stand before him in one of two ways. We will either stand before him based on our own good works and say, I am right with you because I did more good things than bad things. And therefore my accounts are in my favor. And then there are some who understand the message of what he did that only he could do by making a sacrifice and taking our place of punishment, will stand before him and say, I agree with you that I was a sinner and I have no right to come before you, but you alone made a way with your son, the price that you paid. And it's based on what you've done for me that I have faith, that I have a right to come into your presence because of what you've done. That is the first and most important part of the good news that everybody needs to understand. And it's available. The good news is it's available right here, right now, not when you die. And the other half of the other part of the good news that I get really excited about is the right nowness of our inheritance. I said it last week, but one of the things that you can use to identify whether or not what you believe or what someone else believes or whenever a thought is religious or not is it focused on getting off earth and into heaven? Or is it have the understanding and the thought and the intent of on earth as it is in heaven? And many believers have that first part of salvation. And they know that their past is taken care of and so is their future. And they're very much looking forward to being off earth and into heaven. And I have just as much reason, if not more, because I've got a little girl waiting on me that I can't wait to see, who should have been here, but she's up there. And it's not something that God did. But getting off of earth and getting into heaven, it's going to be way better. We're going to look back on where we are today, and we're going to realize, as good as everything was here, it stinks in so many different ways. But the good news is, the other thing that he did that only he could do was he gave us an inheritance. And he calls us co-heirs with Christ. And if you think in terms of real estate, he's the creator, he is the owner, and this is his real estate. When you have a rent house and you give someone a lease, you give them the right to restrict your access to that property. If they're paying rent, you as a landlord do not have the right to come in and do whatever you want and go in whenever you want. You have to come in by invitation. If you do not, you are breaking the law, even though you own the property, and you're in trouble. So God, who's the ultimate landlord, created the earth, and he said, heaven's for me, earth is for y'all, and I'm going to give you the ability to have influence in different territories, and I'm going to give you the right to reject me. I'm going to give you the right to say yes to me or no to me. I'm going to give you the right, even though I'm more powerful than you, I'm going to give you the right to restrict my ability to do things. But if you say yes to me, I'm going to come into you, and I'm going to fill you, and I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to do things that you could never ask or imagine, and it's going to be through relationship and through intimacy. That is the part, that is what excites me about God. That is only something that God could do. Here's my closing thought. When you look at the life of Jesus, I didn't even get to my timeline. That's okay. We'll use that next time. When you look at the life of Jesus, there's two ways to perceive his ministry. One is that he was God, slightly undercover, just showing off in the sense that he came to prove that he was God. So everything he did was to prove, I'm God, believe in me. There's an aspect of that. There's definitely a prophetic fulfillment in everything he did that was pointing to his divinity and to his lordship. But Jesus said something that fascinates me to this day. He said, I'm only doing what I hear and see my Father doing and saying. And he only started doing that after he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. For 30 years, he did not go around doing any miraculous things. That is a picture of man fully in right relationship with God without any hindrance, being filled with God's presence and being able to do the things that only God could do. And that is the other half of our salvation. I would say it's a bigger half in many ways because it's a right now reality. It's not something that we're waiting on when we get across a border. We're not trying to get across. You know, immigration has the word migrate in it. It's I migrate. Guess what? In God's kingdom, you don't have to migrate. He migrates into you. Our journey, though, is just to be in a continual state of saying yes to him. And God's kingdom is foolish and counterintuitive to the way that we think as natural people. The secret is to be like little children and allow him to come in and take stock of everything. Jesus said something to Nicodemus, who was a wise religious leader. He said, the kingdom of God can only be entered and understood by being born again. I'm going to close there, but today is just an awesome day. And I as we leave, I encourage you to meditate on the things that were just said in worship. No other God can be called a father. See, all these people knew him as Lord and creator, but it was only when Jesus came that he was introduced as father. And no other God can be called a friend. No other God is redeemer, and no other God is coming back again. And this is why where we are is so important. We have so much to look forward to, because all of this is continuing to build and build and build. And one day we're going to see more than we know and we see even today. Stand to your feet. You know, the word earth starts with the word ear. And I believe that our job is just to give him our ears and to let him speak whatever he wants to speak. You know, sound can travel even in dark. Sound is not dependent upon light. And when we hear his word becomes flesh in us. And when you understand these concepts, you'll understand one other verse that I think is really important. Jesus said to the disciples, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into the harvest. I want you to think about that. Jesus is God, but he's limiting himself living fully as man, but doing the things of God because of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he's telling the disciples, ask God to do something that he already wants to do. That directly contradicts religious thought that God is a big old powerful God and he's just doing whatever he wants to do. Jesus told the humans here on earth, ask your Father in heaven to send workers into the harvest. God is the one who cares about the harvest. Why do we have to ask God to do something that he already wants to do? Because like the landlord, he's waiting for our invitation. So if you've not invited Jesus into your heart today, or if you know someone who's on your heart, share this message with them. God is waiting for them to invite him into their life so that he can do what only he can do, but he will not do it without their invitation. And if you have made that decision, don't be deceived like the person at the beginning of the story into looking down on the stories in the Bible as just historical facts, not having any daily relevance, or that the things of your life are just something to suffer through and abide by until you get out of here into the sweet by and by. Every day, live laying your life down so that he can live through you. He doesn't want you to not have a life. He wants you to give him your life. And if you were not alive, you would not have a life to give him. So the fact that you have breath means that you have a purpose and a ministry and a reason for being here. And that is my message for today. Father, we thank you and we love you. Yes, do you have something? It's okay. We're stumbling through this.
During worship, I just kept seeing lightning and I couldn't see where it tied in. And when you said the word deposition, It just hit me really strong that there's a lot of us that are being deposed by the enemy every day. There's a lot of us that are facing things that are just frustrating. When you were giving that illustration of just having to speak the same thing, not having, but getting to say the same things every day can feel exhausting and tiring and can wear us out. And I saw this picture before Keith came up of a path. And it was this path that led to a son. And I was like, okay, God, what does this mean? And I didn't have the interpretation of that word that was so right on. But I did see lightning. And I was like, God, how does that tie in? And this is where I believe we're all supposed to step out and start asking God what these things mean that he's giving us, because he's doing this to each and every one of us. And we're supposed to step out. We're supposed to speak what he's speaking. And finally, when you were talking at the end, I saw the meaning of the lightning. And it's so interesting because we've all learned bits and pieces of the scientific meaning behind what a lightning bolt is. And the fact that it actually doesn't just come from heaven down to earth. There's a part of earth that plays in with the lightning for it to come to pass. And so I was reading here. It's pretty awesome. This rubbing creates static electricity with it happens with clouds accumulating over a certain area. And there's a charge that happens within the heavens for it to take place within the earth. But it's a positive charge in heaven that connects with a negative charge on earth. I was like, whoa, like he's looking for our agreement. And so when the positive charge comes from heaven, it doesn't mean, okay, I have to be happy and everything's good. It's actually, no, I'm looking for where you're in that place that's negative, for that positive charge to meet it, for my power to come and something big to happen. And so I just felt led to invite people to come up here around this altar that we've created, like the earth. And if you have something negative going in your life right now, to come up and let's come into agreement and pray for that positive charge to come down, because it's in the power of agreement. And I've said this over and over again, we need each other, guys. We are not a church just to be here. We are here to agree together. We are here to help each other and to lift each other up. And I'm just looking for that lightning to come in here. So,
Amen. We're going to go ahead and pray, but we all are dismissed. And we believe that God is here and he's moving. So if you have a need or a mountain you're facing or a giant who needs to be decapitated, come and pray and let the body of Christ minister to you. Father, we worship you. We say yes to your heaven. We say yes to your charge. We say yes to your word. Let heaven invade earth and let it be done here as it is there. May your name be glorified, because you are the one true God and we love you. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord.